Right on. Well, hey, it's a new year. A new year means a new series, and I've got a clip for you, so you could check it out. In the back there, is the video rolling? You know, living life in an infomercial is hard. There must be a better way. New Year is a time when all of us reflect on self-improvement and try to better ourselves. And many people, including myself, make New Year's resolutions. Whether or not we keep them is another matter at hand. But, you know, when I start a new year, I like to set new goals and really try to improve the person that I am, like so many of you do. And so, in the spirit of self-improvement, we're going to be looking at some life hacks from the book of James. Now, if you don't know what a life hack is, a life hack is simply a creative way that makes everyday life just a little bit easier. For example, you know what is the absolute worst? The absolute worst is when you have to take multiple trips from your car inside after going grocery shopping, right? This is something that people loathe, men especially loathe, having to take multiple trips, right, from the car to the kitchen. And so we try to load up as much as we possibly can in our hands, and you know, you weave your hands through all of those different bags, and then, you know, you're trying to pull it, and you get it out of the back, in my case, at the back of my SUV, and then my hands are full, and I can't close the SUV, which means I'm going to have to come back out. And then I can't open the door to get in because my hands are full, and so that means I have to put the bags down, and then when I put the bags down, then all of the everything just goes everywhere. And there must be a better way. There must be a better way to do bring all your groceries in one trip. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you there's a better way. And that better way is if you take one of those carabiners that they use for mountain climbing, or some people put their keys on them, and you hook the carabiner through the bag handles. You grab onto the carabiner and you can put them down, you can close the hatch, and then you can pick them up again. So there you go. There's your life hack for this morning. As I know this has caused so many people sleepless nights, and you're welcome that I can put you at ease. You know, some of you will remember back in January of the year that I'm calling the year that shall not be named, we started our life hacks series. And for those of you who missed it, have no fear. If you go to our website under our sermons, you can find the whole first half of the series there. And so this morning, we're going to be picking up kind of in the middle of the book of James, in James chapter 3. See, the wonderful thing about the book of James is how intensely practical it is. See, James is not only concerned, is only concerned with the supernatural if it's lived out in super practical ways. The book originally was a letter to Jewish Christians who were scattered throughout the world. They were called the diaspora. But the problems that he addresses and the truths that he drops on us are timeless. It's believed that this James who wrote this letter is none other than the half-brother of Jesus who is mentioned in the Gospels. And in his letter, the brother of Jesus teaches us how to show our family resemblance to Jesus. And so this morning, James is going to give us some life hacks on getting ahead in life. Do you ever feel like you just can't get ahead? You just can't catch a break? Do you ever feel like you're stuck in the rat race? Or it's you against the world? Or you just need to be a better, stronger, and faster? That the system is rigged? That it's a dog-eat-dog world? See, all of these things are phrases that we use to describe our exasperation, how fed up we are with how difficult it is to get ahead in life. But whatever your version of getting ahead is, chances are it always seems just to be out of reach. It eludes us at every single turn. Because by definition, ahead means that someone else, or almost everyone else, needs to be behind us. And as a result, we fall prey to two very destructive patterns. The first pattern is that we compare. We play the comparison game. You know, how do you know if you're ahead of everyone else without looking around? Right? Without taking stock of where else everyone else stands in the game of life. You know, one of the many problems that comes with the comparison game is that we compare everyone's best with our worst. Right? I compare your Instagram relationships, your Instagram family, your Instagram marriage with my real life family, my real life marriage, my real life relationships. I compare, the muscles that you have spent years toning in the gym to my January 1st noodles, right? We compare everyone's best to our worst. And sometimes, though, right, comparison can make us feel better if we're the best in the room. But the problem is that there's always someone better lurking around the corner. So the first trap that we fall into is we compare, and the second is we compete. The natural evolution of comparison is competition. If we treat life like a game, there will be winners and losers. Right? Who has the best house, best job, best bank account? You name it. But if life is a competition, it isn't over until you are dead. And that is just exhausting. And ironically, life-sucking. You miss out on the life that is right in front of you in pursuit of something else. A fellow pastor, a friend of mine, said it well. If you compare and compete, you will end in defeat. That bears repeating. If you compare and compete, you will end in defeat. Friends, there must be a better way to get ahead in life. And for that, we turn to James for some much-needed life hacks. If you've got a Bible with you at home, or if you can open up another browser, we're looking at James chapter 3, and we're going to be starting in verse 13, right where we left off. And this is what it says. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that come from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up with the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. See, James comes straight out of the gate by telling us that we are asking the wrong question. The question is not how do I get ahead, but how do I help others get ahead? See, human wisdom will tell you that your worth is being defined by being better than others. But wisdom from above tells us a different story. And this is the story it tells us. The secret to getting ahead lies in helping others moving forward. The secret to getting ahead lies in helping others move forward. See, James tells us that the only way to win the game is to change the game. And how you define success, how you define winning the game, completely changes everything. And James lays two paths in front of us. He lays two paths before our feet. One is the comparison game that is going to leave you in defeat. And the other is the path of the peacemaker. And so this morning, I want to give you three life hacks from James on how to walk this path of peace. So life hack number one, live an honorable life. See, James starts out, he says, if you are wise in understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. See, you may or may not have heard recently that a world-famous pastor resigned after being caught having an affair on his wife. Afterwards, it came out that he had not just that one affair, but multiple different affairs. But that wasn't all. He mistreated volunteers. They had staff parties where he got drunk, right? It's easy to sit back and to point the finger at this pastor who is world-famous, world-known, and to point out his glaring character flaws and to shake our heads in judgment. But few of us have felt the crushing pressure of fame or the accolades of stardom. See, when we talk about getting ahead, we need to understand that our competency, that our opportunities, if we're not careful, will far outrun our character. Andy Stanley, a pastor and author, he provides some very helpful perspective. He says this, your accomplishments as a leader, or just as a human, your accomplishments as a leader will make your name known. Your character will determine what people associate with your name. See, the word honorable in verse 13 is an English translation of the Greek word kalos, which means an outward sign of an inward good. So it's not just putting on an act. It's not just pretending to be honorable. It's not just doing the right things. It's actually a life that is lived that is being changed from the inside out. To live an honorable life is to be the same person in your private world as well as in your public world. Character will sustain you where competency fails. See, when we read this passage in James, it becomes apparent that there was quite a bit of competition going on. There was a lot of comparison and a lot of competing, and they seemed to be fighting for celebrity status, fighting for the limelight. But God's wisdom doesn't seek power or position. It seeks a life of consistent character. So life hack number one, live an honorable life. Life hack number two, do good works. Secondly, James implores us to do good works. Later in verse 17, he calls them the fruit of good deeds. Now, I don't know if you like fruit or not, but it's a very common metaphor in the New Testament, so you just need to get used to it. And the idea is very simple. And to explain this, I came from the Okanagan before this. I lived in the Okanagan for almost 7 years, and I know nothing about plants, but you want to know something really fascinating that I learned about plants living in the Okanagan. If it has grapes on it, it is probably a grapevine. If it has apples on it, it is an apple tree. Peaches? A peach tree. I know this is groundbreaking stuff. I really hope that you're taking notes. But here's the thing. People are like trees. You know how to spot someone whose life has been transformed by the good news of Jesus? They do good things. They do good works. James goes on to tell us that they don't lie to cover up the truth or to get ahead. They make decisions out of pure motives. They seek peace over conflict. They are full of mercy when they've been wronged. They are gentle, not stubbornly insisting on getting their own way. They don't play favorites. They are sincere in their concern for others. The proof is in the fruit. So I want to ask, what kind of tree are you? So life hack number two, do good works. Life hack number three, embrace humility. Embrace humility. Now, humility is not thinking less of yourself, as many people assume. Biblical humility is about recognizing your true condition. See, my kids love stickers, and they love to stick stickers on me. They think that it's absolutely hilarious. You know, I've got a bright, it doesn't matter what type of sticker, right? It could be a bright pink princess stickers, it could be Paw Patrol, it can be Ninja Turtles, whatever. And if I'm not careful, I can leave the house with, you know, a Hello Kitty sticker on the back of my leg. And in life, people put stickers on us as well. Only instead of Hello Kitty, they're labels. And maybe they're labels that say things like failure, or stupid, or bully, ugly, whatever that label is. And we walk around our life trying to hide these negative labels. And we use them as fuel, either to compete or as an excuse to fail. And as followers of Jesus, humility is not embracing those labels as a lowly sinner. It's about recognizing your position in the family of God. Recognizing that you are accepted, that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are set free, that you are a child of God. And out of that confidence, not some flimsy self-confidence, but out of confidence that comes from above, that comes from God, two things become clear for perhaps the first time. And the first thing is that your value as a human is unchanged by your performance. We are all equals. And so all of a sudden, we're not scrapping and clawing to get ahead, but we also see people as needing love, needing respect, needing to be helped and cared for. And the second thing is, the overwhelming greatness of God overwhelms our faults and failures. C.S. Lewis, really intelligent scholar, he said that humility, when we finally come before God and we see him, true humility is not going to be thinking about how low we are. It's going to be thinking about how great God is. Right? That his greatness overcomes our weakness. His enough is more than enough. And so maybe the first time in our lives, we begin to see others as they really are. And we finally have the freedom within ourselves to take our eyes off of us and to see the needs of the people around us. As someone famously quipped, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. See, all of this flies in the face of the cultural wisdom of getting ahead, the pursuit of happiness, and all of those things. To choose character over fame, good deeds over passivity, and humility over selfish ambition. See, once again, Jesus completely turns the tables on us and he changes the game by redefining what it means to get ahead. James concludes with this thought. He said, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, your thoughts when you hear that word peacemaker might have gone to Jesus' very own words in his famous sermon in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verse 9, it said, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God." Another translation, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." See, one translation of this verse, that word blessed, is happy. Happy. Not happy like pleasure, but happy as in contentment. Happy are the peacemakers. But the term blessing is chosen because there is one key subtle difference between happiness and blessing. And the director of Alpha, Nikki Gumbel, he defines it very well. He says, happiness comes from what happens to you. Blessing is what happens to you through knowing God and meditating on his words. It's a very important distinction. And so we are left asking ourselves, why do I want to get ahead? Why do I compare and compete? And usually the reason that we do that is to experience happiness or blessing, to be accepted and to be loved. And in the famous way of the gospel, Jesus turns it all around on us. He turns it on us and he says, you know, you don't get ahead by doing any of these things. You get ahead by dropping out of the game, out of the comparison game. You find your life by losing it. You experience blessing when you embrace God's plan for your life. The secret to getting ahead in life lies in helping others move forward. I'm going to invite the team to come on up. You know, before we close in prayer, I want to leave you with this thought. You know, this year, as you're thinking through your New Year's resolutions, or you've already made them, and you're focusing on self-improvement, this year, I want to challenge you to put aside jealousy or comparison and selfish ambition, competition. And instead, make it your ambition to live an honorable life and to put Jesus at the center of your life. Because when Jesus is at the center of your life, everything else falls into place. To be a bringer of peace is what I would charge you with this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your great sacrifice on the cross, that through the greatest gift of all, through your death and resurrection, we can walk in new life. That we don't have to play the comparison game any longer, but instead we're free. We're free to see things, to see the world clearly for the first time. Let us walk forward into this year with that perspective. In Jesus' name, amen.